Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
Welcome to Second Breakfast,
so
man.
Glad you've decided to join us. Phil, it's cold outside, but these beats are warm, baby.
These are what you call flip-flop beats right
That's
here.
That's right.
This is flip-flop music. Just picture right now, however cold you are, and it's been really cold the last couple days, for sure.
Yep.
Picture right now that you're sitting somewhere on a beach in the flip-flops, your feet, you're actually having to keep your flip-flops on because the sand will burn your feet.
Woo!
It's that warm outside.
Yeah, let's make sure we clearly define that this music is warm weather music and not the other activity that people typically do while listening to reggae music. Let's just be clear here.
You mean dance?
I'm talking April 20th music.
Yeah, it's not that kind of music.
Speaking of that, Naomi's birthday is April 18th, and we were really afraid she was going to be born on 420. 420. She was already born during the fourth month of 2020, which was Weed Month. So anyway.
I don't know. Is that even a thing anymore? Because now, because it's the police code for possession of marijuana. So is that even a thing now that marijuana is legal?
I mean, people giggle whenever you say, oh, yeah, what time is it? It's 420. Like, I got a meeting.
Yeah, and there's a there's a marijuana store. What do you call it now? A cannabis shop.
Dispensary.
Named like level 420. And I'm like, well, that's okay. I guess that culture, they think that's cute.
I don't know. In our culture, we just need a number for pancakes. So, which I think three pancakes is about right. If you can eat more than three pancakes without like feeling awful afterwards, and I'm talking regular full size pancakes, not mini flapjacks or whatever.
Silver dollar pancakes.
Let me know.
We're serious pancake eaters here. Well, how was your week this week?
It was pretty good.
Speaking of pancakes.
Yeah. So it's been good. Although I went and got COVID tested again. So.
Oh, man.
I got a negative, which is really good.
A negative?
Every time I get the negative test result, I think of The Office, though. Whenever Kevin Malone is waiting to see if he has cancer, and he gets the call that it's negative, and he tells her, like, they called. It's negative. And Michael doesn't understand it. He's like, we're here for you, buddy.
It's kind of confusing when you first hear it. I remember being young and thinking, it's negative. That's bad, right? No, that's good. What?
Hey, wait.
How was that
second.
Good? So your COVID test was negative. That's good. I have had no COVID tests this week.
I am proud of you.
Yeah.
I am proud of you. Hey, Phil, have you eaten anything really good this week?
Actually, I went to Outback. And I'll say it's much better the first time because I ate the leftovers for lunch today, and it was not great. But I had, instead of getting a burger, I mean, no. Instead of getting a steak, because I'm cheap, I got a burger. And, man, they make some good burgers. I got the Bloomin' Onion Burger, which had, like, Bloomin' Onion petals and the sauce on it, which is great. And it's that sauce kind of gives you memory burps.
Ooh.
So I'm having Bloomin' Onion memory burps occasionally during the podcast.
It's funny, Phil, because I went to Outback the other day.
Yeah.
And Tori and I went Monday night and went to Outback. We had a gift card. And we always go and just get the 6-ounce sirloin or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's their cheapest
steak.
Yeah,
and it is cheap.
It's really good, though. Yeah, it's good marinade or whatever they put on it. Great. Cook it well. So, But that's like our deal. So it's funny when you said you went to Outback. And that's probably the best thing I had to eat this week was definitely that steak.
That steak. I think you went there the day after I did. I think I was there Sunday and you were there Monday.
That's funny because the last time I went to Outback, you and your wife and Katie were all at
Outback. We saw each other there. That's right.
You came and sat down by Tori and her first thought was, who is this freak? I'm being mugged. My purse.
Yeah, I kind of freaked her out just a little bit. Only for a second, though. She was very happy to see me. So this is not just a regular episode today. This is the rare time we actually have a guest today with us on the episode.
Today we have Kyle from Talenton.
Kyle Willis, who is a great friend of ours, and you guys are going to hear from him in a little bit.
I don't know if I'd say great friend, Phil.
He's a great guy and a friend.
There we go. He's a good workplace associate.
He's becoming a better friend. He's working on it.
No, we love you, Kyle. Kyle, what's up?
We do love you, Kyle.
Well, I just really appreciate you guys letting me come in here and crash your podcast. I've listened to however many, what are we, like 50 episodes?
31. This is 32. This is number 32.
It felt like 50. So, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but no, I am a fan of the podcast. And so, I'm just glappy.
You are
Gen Z of the word. I'm glappy.
You're honored.
Happy
Kyle,
to be here.
Kyle, the word is honored.
Yes, honored guest. You are officially guest number three. Well, three and a half, I guess. So we had guest number one. The only one to be on for a full show was Leah. Yeah. And then guest number technically two, we cut. Anyway, I am so glad you're here with us anyway. But let's get into some orange juice.
OJ. So,
hey, wait, before we get OJ, though, let's ask Kyle this week. Kyle, what's the best thing you've had to eat this week?
Can I tell you the worst? Can I?
Yes.
Can I switch this up? So Taco Bueno, Phil, I don't know. Do you like Taco Bueno?
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. I like the beans.
Okay. Well, I used to like Taco Bueno. I kid
Sounds
you not.
Sounds like a story.
Last weekend, I went to Taco Bueno, and unfortunately, the one that I went to has this like curb around the outside. So after you get into the drive-thru line, okay?
Oh yeah.
You can't get out. You cannot get out.
It's like Chick-fil-A.
Okay, let me ask a question. Is what do you think the over or under from the total time I pulled into the drive-thru line till the time I left? I will let you set the mark and let Lucas pick the over or the under.
I have no idea what over or under is. I don't. But I am going to say 25 minutes.
I'm going to go over, like way over.
Like how long?
I would say you're probably there an hour and a half.
It was not an hour and a half, but 51 minutes after I got in line.
51 minutes.
It was unbelievable. I'm never going back. I've tweeted them. I've tried to.
You've trashed them completely.
Oh, all four of my followers were like, this is unacceptable. So that's the worst meal I had. I'm not going to answer the best.
Oh, wow.
So it was only bad because you were there for almost an hour? Was the food, did it taste good?
Sure. You know, I mean, it actually was really good, but this is a part of the
story. But fast food that takes 51 minutes, it doesn't matter how it tastes.
And this is the part that I left out, is I had picked up my kids. It was Saturday night. So I'm driving home. I've got my 7-year-old daughter in the back seat, wondering what's taking so long.
Right.
And my 1-year-old son crying, screaming,
now.
No mama, he's hungry, he's tired. It was absolutely brutal.
That's torture.
Yeah. So that's what we've been there a while back. We were taking Naomi over for some friends. We were picking up McAllister's to take over. They had just had their baby. And so we sat and waited at McAllister's for like 30 minutes while they took out our click and pull. Like, you know, you ordered it on the app and we're supposed to be ready when we got there and it wasn't. And Naomi was not having it. And so I'm trying to like drive around the parking lot at that point, and she's like, nope, that's over. So, yeah, I get that.
The screaming 1-year-old just puts – every minute is like an hour.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So, yeah, Kyle, that's bad. So,
our prayers
it's
are
time
with you.
Now. I'd like Kyle to sing the jingle. The jingle.
Oh, the Gen Z word of the week.
There we go. All right.
Hey. Woo! Somebody record that one. That's the new jingle forever.
I love it.
All right. Phil and Kyle, your word of the week is – Stan.
Excuse me?
Stan. Not the janitor at some...
Stan?
Stan.
S-T-A-N.
S-T-A-N.
All right. So I'm going to guess that it's like Karen. It's the male equivalent to Karen.
Okay. All right.
That's my guess.
Not a terrible guess.
I think, ironically, it's Kyle, right? Is the male equivalent of Karen. So this is a little bit tricky. Stan, I usually guess these Gen Z word of the week right on the first time, and I laugh internally at Phil.
How old are you, Kyle?
I'm 36.
Yeah, so you're quite a bit younger than I am.
Yeah, but I've seen Stan news, but I'm going to say you're lying, but that I don't think that's right.
Yeah, no cap. Stan is short for stalker fan. So it's an overly creepy fan.
Stalker fan.
It's a stalker fan. Do we have any Stans, Phil? I think it's like a...
I don't know. I'll take
that's
it.
How you
care.
Know you've made it in the podcasting world is you got some Stans, you know? I mean, Gordon does peek his head around the corner real creepily as we're doing the podcast sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, he was so excited to be on. He may be borderline super fan, stalker fan.
I don't know. I think he was like, I've never listened to this, but I want to be on it. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, he thought we were on the radio.
And that's going to be a good test to see if he listens, because if he listens to that, he'll come and tell me about it. So.
He will. He will definitely not let you live that down. Oh, man. Here's Megan Fonner. Well, yeah, so Stan, that's interesting.
But Stan is a negative, correct me if I'm wrong. Like that, like yes. Don't be a Stan. Like I could say I'm a Stan of you guys, but then all of a sudden you're going to like have send out a code to have people come rescue you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that it's borderline creepy. It's right on the edge where it's pretty bad. So, you know, you can't really call the cops on him just yet, but you know, one
you
step
wish you
further.
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right, so that's a little education for me. And now, is it time for Dad Stories with Lucas? Are we trying Dad Stories? We sort of had Dad Stories with Kyle.
Yeah, I think we got
it. Hey, did she poop? Did your one-year-old poop during that 51 minutes?
So my one-year-old is a boy.
Oh, the boy, sorry.
Yes, so that'd be a little bit awkward if my seven-year-old did that.
Well, but, you know, that would be
I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. I couldn't smell.
That story would not have qualified anyway, because you have to know whether there's poop involved.
Kyle did eat Taco Bueno, so there's a good chance poop was involved with that. So anyway, moving on.
Well, that's Taco Bell, actually.
Dad Stories with Lucas! So take your bets. Phil, you go first. Poop or no poop?
No, I'm not betting again. Last time I lost pancakes.
Well, no, we'll just go double or nothing.
No. This time I'm betting.
You don't have to bet actual
that there will be poop, but this is a safe bet. In other words, I can win, but I can't lose. This is a no fault bet. Is that what you call it? It's no fault. So I can't lose. I can win though.
There's nothing on the line?
There is. If I win, then I don't have to buy you pancakes. If I lose, I'd still buy you pancakes. Just once, though. I'm not buying you pancakes twice.
No,
you already picked the most expensive breakfast restaurant and the most expensive item on the menu because it's gluten-free.
No, that's a good point, though. We didn't talk about it yet. We are having our one-year anniversary get-together at the end of February.
Yeah.
At Neighborhood Jam. The first episode actually aired February 5th. We talked about Kobe's death.
Which very sad.
It was a
episode.
Sad podcast. Our podcast has really come a long way from there.
Yeah.
Our first like six were like, "Hey, welcome to the depression episode with Lucas and Phil," and now we have joyful topics. So like righteousness. So anyway, but yeah, that's the last weekend in February on Saturday. We'll meet there at like 9:30.
Yeah.
And eat breakfast together with our stands.
Details will be on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
Facebook
Instagram. And Instagram. So make sure you hit those
that
up.
Stuff. And we will probably go live from there on Instagram, Facebook, but we will also record an episode or at least part of an episode.
Yeah, I think
while
we'll get like a
there.
Segment. Which
so
will
if
be really
you
cool.
come, you get to be on the podcast.
You can be on the internet. So, all right.
Like Kyle, and Kyle, let's just have a testimony, Kyle. Isn't it awesome being on the podcast?
It's really unbelievable. I mean, this is number four on my bucket list, so this is really high up there. But
you have a tiny little bucket, don't you?
You know, I bet. Yeah, right. I'll be there. I'll be at the breakfast. I'd love to be there and hang out with you guys
because this
is not enough. I need more Lucas
need more.
And Phil in my life. But I will say, Phil, based off of Lucas' reaction, I said I thought I was going to go opposite of you on poop or no poop.
Yeah.
But he got really defensive, so I'm with you on this one.
Did I say
so
poop or no poop? I forgot.
Now, just to tell you how life-changing it is being on the podcast, Kyle is bald, and his hair has started to grow back since we started recording. So it's just life-changing, everybody. So let me – this story, it's a little different. But anyway – so Friday's my day off. I get to stay at home. But it's not actually Tori's day off because she nannies. And so a little girl named Haven gets dropped off at the house every week. And so this last Friday, I'm at home, and I've got Naomi, and we're playing, and Tori has Haven in the living room. And so Naomi and I are in the bedroom, and I've got her hands, and she's walking around. And then I hear in the living room just like, oh, no. And then all of a sudden, there's silence for a minute, and then she goes, "Oh, there's carrots everywhere!" And this little girl, Haven, had pooped and just gone everywhere. Carrots all over the place. Like, up to her neck in her hair.
Oh, just, no.
That's, you can see what they ate. So she had carrots for breakfast, I guess, and it was gross.
I'm sorry to celebrate that awful experience for that child and your wife, but woo! High five right here.
High fives all around, high five, except Kyle. For Lucas. There we go.
I anyway, high-five myself. Kyle's on the other side of the room.
Yeah, we have a good time. Lots of poop at the Lunsford house.
Yeah. So are we even now? I don't have to buy you pancakes. I'll still buy you pancakes, Lucas. I love you, buddy.
Thanks, Phil.
So,
there's all the other things I do for you. So
is it time to dive in to our topic?
I believe so. Yeah. Last week we talked about, so if you're like skipped an episode, last week we talked about justification. And if you haven't listened to that yet, it'd be a great idea.
Talk about sanctification.
Sanctification. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Last week's sanctification. So it'd be a great idea to listen to that immediately after this so you get both sides.
Because we had started this conversation about your identity in Christ. And I said, well, you know, kind of one of the most foundational things, the Hebrews says that you don't grow because you don't understand the teaching about righteousness. Ooh. And I think that's Hebrews 10:13, but I could be wrong. That's Hebrews 5:13. So, but you don't grow because you don't understand the teaching about righteousness. And so I'm like, well, if you want to really learn about your identity, you got to know that God made you righteous in Christ. And Lucas said, as we discussed that, well, but there's two sort of sides of that. There's justification and sanctification. Last week we talked about sanctification. Today we kind of want to dive into what does it really mean when the Bible says you're justified, you are righteous in Christ. So what's your sort of opening thought with that, Lucas?
Yeah. So just when I, you know, justification versus sanctification, or I mean, really they work together. It's not a versus, but
right.
Justification is we are immediately bestowed the righteousness of Christ. And so even though in my life I've done a lot of wrong things, when God looks upon me, I am no longer my own sin and flesh, but instead when God sees me, he sees the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
So. Justification. Yeah. So that's it. That's the whole podcast, right? We're good? We're good?
No, I mean, it could be, but why do we need to talk about that? Because I'm guaranteeing you that if you're just an ordinary, everyday Christian that hasn't really dug into this topic, you hear what Lucas just said and you go, you hear somebody say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are perfectly righteous right now. And you're like,
Well, and I think, too, when you hear it, you might think it's more of like if you wanted to be in the Blue Man Group and you just put blue paint all over your body, like Tobias Fünke, if you watch the show. Anyway, no. You know, you're just covering it, and it's like Christ's righteousness is like makeup covering up your ugliness, and yet God has actually transformed you and made you righteous immediately.
Made you righteous. Yeah, yeah. So he has actually changed you into a different thing.
Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that kind of we need to talk about. So what is it? And Kyle, jump in anytime. Yeah. If you want to throw something out here, just grab the mic from Lucas.
You know, we're talking about righteousness and justification. I mean, these are big words, right? And I think I'm a simple mind, so you've attempted to do that a little bit, but these are obviously things that people have spent lives and decades and centuries studying and all that. But let me ask you this before I kind of answer your question, Phil. Let me ask you this, because under the law, there was one thing, and then under the gospel, there's another. So, Lucas, Phil, could you guys explain to me justification and righteousness, how that changed with Jesus? Or am I way off here?
Well, no, I would say Romans and Galatians, Paul's teaching, and then I guess Hebrews is another place that you need to look at. And Hebrews says that we have a new and better covenant. Okay, so we know that now under Christ, under grace, that we are no longer under the law. But the truth is, according to what Paul teaches, that the law never made anyone righteous like Christ has made us righteous, which is kind of a freaky thing. We think, oh, well, were none of those people saved back in the Old Testament? Well, in a way, they were saved by faith like we're saved by faith, but they were not born again like we're born again.
So to me, that's the difference. The difference is they were saved by their faith looking forward. They did not experience the transforming work of righteousness in their lives by the Holy Spirit, by the new birth, by being crucified with Christ and resurrected with Christ. They had none of that. What they had was the ability to say, yes, God, I believe you're going to send the Messiah and you are going to pay for my sins. And that's how they were saved. And like Abraham was counted righteous because of his faith, because he just believed God and obeyed God.
Yeah, I think, I mean, looking in Scripture, anyone that is mentioned as righteous is always because of their walk with the Lord. It's never because they did everything right. Like, we look at Noah was counted as righteous, and that's why his family was saved, because he walked with the Lord, and that's all he did. I mean, we don't know a lot about Noah's life, but I know that if we look in Scripture, no one was perfect.
Right.
And so all of them, you know, and that's where I think it's right and wrong to say that it's different, because right. everyone was saved by Christ. Anyone who's in heaven is there solely because Christ yes. has saved them. And so it's all yes. by faith. The difference is for them, it was faith in a coming Savior. And for us, it's a faith in a Savior who has come and is still coming again.
Yeah. So. And one that we get to experience today. Does that answer the question, sort of?
I think so. Yeah. So sorry. I tried to derail this or take
that's
this
awesome.
Another,
no, that's a great. I'm so glad you asked that question.
For sure. I think yeah. it took us in a direction we needed to go.
Yeah, so. I would say. And so I want to say a couple things. I want to read something. This is from Easton's Bible Dictionary, which, and I'll post this on the Facebook page. But this is the definition for justification. We use the word righteousness. But righteousness and justification are interchangeable. And so this is the definition for either one of those things. And so, it says a forensic term. And so forensic means a courtroom term. Okay. Right. Forensic term as opposed to condemnation. As regards its nature, it is the judicial act of God by which he pardons all the sins of those who believe in Christ and accounts, accepts, and treats them as righteous in the eye of the law, i.e., or for example, as conformed to all its demands. So when God justifies you, what that means is that he is proclaiming, declaring as the holy judge that you have done the whole law. You've obeyed everything he's commanded. The pastor that sort of taught me a lot of
yeah.
identity things said, Jesus took the test and gave you his grade. You know what I'm saying? And that's what he's saying, that God has declared you as if you're born again, he says you did it all. You obeyed the entire law. Yeah, so one of the key verses in that is Romans 8:4, I think. Lucas, can you read that for us?
Close. Did you say Romans 8:4?
I think it's 8:4.
8:4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according
right.
to the Spirit. And that's where I think it comes in, like defining why the law exists then. Because I think most of us kind of know, but it is like if we're looking here and all we're seeing is what the law could not do, Christ did. And I think then you go, well, God's old covenant, what was the point? It didn't even have any power.
Exists.
So why does the law exist if it had no power? I mean, like right there, we see what the law could not do, God through his son did. So
yeah.
what's the law here for?
Man, the law is incredibly important. The Bible says, without the law, there's no knowledge of sin. In other words, in order to be saved, you have to know you're drowning.
Yeah.
You got to know there's a problem. Without the law, we wouldn't know. And it's like we wouldn't feel the burn of the fire. We would be burning to death and we wouldn't feel the pain. You know, the law is yeah. like the nerves in our skin. It's the thing that says, hey, you're messed up. You got yeah, a problem.
That's what I know in Islam. They say Christians are someone who throws themselves into the lake and drowns trying to save the person sitting on the dock. And so they make fun of us, but what they don't realize is that we understand the danger and the fire. We understand that we're drowning without
right.
Christ. And so I do think that's just, we got to clear that up. The law exists with a purpose, but that purpose was not to save us, but instead
right.
to show us the need for a Savior. And I just get lost thinking about God as planner and just how well he plans everything out, and you know, the years it took for this plan to come around into fruition. And from the very beginning, he had planned for Christ to come. It wasn't like he goes, oh, shoot, these humans can't follow the law. Better do something different.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
From the beginning, had planned this. And so it's just amazing to me looking at him in that light.
Yeah. There's, Jesus isn't a plan B.
Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the law is kind of what distinguishes God's holiness. So yes. The law is what separates him, right, as deity from us. And so without yes. the law, then all of a sudden we should have access, right? But the law is what limits the access,
yeah.
right, to God. And so what happens when Jesus comes in and is the atonement for us, he lays down on the law and says, okay, now you can have access. And maybe that's a yeah. weird analogy.
No, but, that's a great
that's
analogy.
That's what I got.
Yeah, and yeah. I think the law is pictured. The law is represented in the tabernacle by the veil between the Holy of Holies and the outer part of the regular part of the temple. Mm-hmm. You know, people and priests could mill around and do worship activities in the temple. Now, there was even purification required in the Old Testament to enter into the temple. You know, there were yeah. sacrifices on the outside. But to get into the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could do that, and only once a year. So this is representative of the absolute perfect standard of God, this veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies.
This is, I think that's a great example, just talking about the Holy of Holies and God looking on us and actually having changed us to righteousness. If we look at the priest that entered the Holy of Holies at the appointed times that were not properly purified
yeah.
and justified, they would die
yeah.
immediately. Like, they would pull them out with a rope. They had bells on them like a cat.
Yeah, know? And they'd have a rope tied around their foot, and they had to be drug right. out if they messed up.
And so here's my point, though, is that because of Christ's righteousness, that is now our righteousness, we can go in the presence of God and live.
Right.
Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
When you think about just how holy God is.
Yeah. Well, and what happened to that veil when Christ died, literally the veil in the temple in Jerusalem was ripped from top to bottom.
Yeah.
God literally opening the Holy of Holies to us because Christ bridged that gap. He became the bridge. He fulfilled the law. So God looks at us as though we've done everything right our whole lives.
He looks at us and does no longer sees our sinful flesh.
So we just do whatever we want, right?
Amen. Get out of jail free card. This is Monopoly, Phil. Welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
No.
This is why all my life I've met so many people that hate Baptists, because we believe in this once saved, always saved stuff, you know, and there are a lot of people who take this, or I don't know how many people actually take an understanding of the righteousness of God and misuse it.
I don't think it's always a conscious thought as much as it's a subconscious thing that you get used to.
Yeah.
It's because there is no fear of me losing my salvation.
Right.
Then I can. But if we look at Paul again, one of my favorites that he says is, then for the sake of grace, should we continue sinning?
Exactly.
By no means. And I love that.
Right.
By no means. It's great. You know,
so
when your kids ask you for stuff.
Here's my thought. You know, I had a period in my life, and that when I first found out about what we're talking about, that Jesus looked at me as the righteousness of God, no matter what I did, I was like, woo! I was like free.
And I had always
lived under bondage. And honestly, there were a couple of areas of my life where I let myself go in temptations, and I just didn't worry about it. And that wasn't right. And God didn't let me stay there, but here's what happened. It wasn't, and some people might say that during that time of my life, I had too much grace. But really, what happened is as I really began to take stock of how much God really did love me, that's when I began to turn around. It wasn't, I didn't get more fear. As I got more confidence in the love of God, that's when I began to think, wait, I don't want to sin.
But even to tie it back with what we were talking about, the identity of Christ, right? Or my identity in Christ. So right. Now all of a sudden, hey, I want to sin, right? My flesh is here, but this is who God says I was created to be, and this is who He says I am. And so now all of a sudden, it kind of it's kind of this revolving door, this circle, which is okay. Maybe you know I got that grace, right? Once saved, always saved, whatever. But now Christ says, "Go and do this," right? And this is how you should live. And the the veil's been torn apart.
Yes,
but you head still
of, so go head of the class,
repentance.
Kyle,
you still go do this,
Lucas. Yeah. You got to move second row. Head of the class, Kyle, front row.
Just hold
no,
on
you
a
nailed
second.
It.
I was going to say the exact same thing, and Kyle took my mic. He stole it from me. I was going to say that, and just coming with that, though, is that not only have we become the righteousness of Christ, but we've become the love that God has. You know, God is love, and we are in one spirit with God. And so you mentioned in your book, Phil, just about how we are now love. Love is patient. Love is kind. I am now patient. I am now kind. And so like following the law, it really is this switch from no longer am I following the law because I'm afraid. I'm following the law because I love and I love God and I want to follow His commandments and I want to get to know Him and I want to be here with Him every second of every day. And you can't do that while exercising these freedoms. And it's that, you know, Paul talks about that and the, you know, all things are acceptable, but not all things are good.
Right.
And so while yes, once saved, always saved, you have grace extended to you that you can run around and do whatever you want and you're not going to lose your salvation. But that's not good. It's not what God has planned for you or what He has for you.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden you have this this smorgasbord of food in front of you, and some of it you used to be afraid of because it's poison. Now you're immune to the poison, but you realize how terrible that stuff tastes. You know, sin tastes terrible. To a person who really begins to understand that not only have they been declared innocent in a judicial sense, but that they've been recreated into this in the image of God, in the image of Christ, the righteousness of God.
And that's what Jesus is talking about when He says, be salt and light, right? Uh-huh. So salt is only useful if it's there, right? It's small, but anyway, salt savors, salt strengthens, it does some of this other stuff. So, you know, I think that's the call for me is to go, okay, hey, yes, Jesus has been the bridge, the gap, whatever, you know, that word that the atonement for my sin. Okay. The identity is now saying, all right, Christ, this is God, this is who you created me to be. I'm a new creation. And then He has that charge. He has the great commandment that says, go and make disciples. So for me, I'm kind of a logical thinker. Being able to walk through those really helps me think through that. So then I just kind of fall back on the other one. So if I'm not being salty.
Yeah.
Hey, Gen Z word of the week. If I'm not being salty, right, then I go back and go, okay, well, maybe because I'm not living in that identity. And if I'm not living in that identity, it's maybe because I don't have a correct perspective or reverence for what Jesus did in my salvation.
I mean, it has to come back, like we talked about, the framework of identity in Christ. And that's how we see all of this. When we look at the righteousness of Christ bestowed upon us, by looking at it from the framework of my identity is now that righteousness, it makes it so much easier to understand and then therefore to, and then to move forward living in that way. And you had put it when you talked about that love is patient, love is kind, love it does not envy, love shall not boast. I think that put it to me in just the way of like, I am not an angry person.
Right.
Because God has made me to be patient. God has made me kind.
And I don't have to try to become better because God took care of that. He crucified my old man. He resurrected a new man.
Yeah.
And this is what I really am deep down inside now.
Exactly.
And I
it's
can
that
live from that.
Freedom to live in that instead of like, well, I still have to battle being angry. Like, no, you have to start living like who you actually are.
Yeah.
You're not just an angry person saved by grace. You are no longer an angry person because of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, man, this is really an awesome discussion. I've so enjoyed hearing you guys. Kyle, thank you so much. And Lucas, your insights are great. You're just as good as Kyle's. You can sit next to him on the front row.
Thank you. I was just going to say, a few weeks ago, the title of the episode is that I got my dunce cap removed.
That's right.
And then this week I get moved back.
No. I only moved you to the second row, but I take that back. You're both front row.
Thank you, Professor.
This is a great episode. It's amazing to really think about what Jesus did when He saved us. So righteousness. Man, if you haven't studied it much, dig into that word, justification, righteousness. And I'm going to post that Easton's Bible Dictionary, the whole little section definition of justification on the Facebook page, so you'll be able to go back and look at that.
We didn't actually talk about that much. We have a Facebook and an Facebook page and an Instagram. Make sure you are liking and following those so you can get up-to-date information about the podcast. Yeah. We love you guys. We're glad you're part. Hey, Phil, hopefully less than a minute of culture. Your Chiefs are in the Super Bowl.
Yes, they are.
What's the final score?
The final score is going to be Chiefs 1, and I don't care.
Wait.
Not 1 point, win.
Chiefs win. I was going to say, do you know how football works, Phil? You can't just score 1 point. That's not how
That sounds really stupid. Oh, well, we're keeping that for sure.
Yay, sports ball. Come on, Phil.
Win the contest.
No, I'm excited. It should be a good Super Bowl. It's actually on Tori's birthday, so I don't know how much I'll actually watch.
I mean, people say it's the GOAT against the kid, and I really do. I'm amazed at how my Chiefs have come together as a team and found a way to beat everybody, and I'm just believing we're going to find a way to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with that amazing defense and that scary quarterback.
I am rooting for you hardcore because I do not like Tom Brady as a player. Now, I love Tom Brady because love God, love others. Nothing else matters. And
that's
love our listeners. If you have questions,
we love you.
Comments, concerns, please send those over to secondbreakfast777@gmail.com or Facebook message us. You can also email us at lucas@eastwoodtulsa.com or phil@eastwoodtulsa.com.
Yes, sir, Rebob.
The options are limitless. And if you
No, actually, it's just pretty much those three. Okay. Four.
Well, yeah. you can also DM us on Instagram. So.
Oh, so five. Yeah.
So anyway, five ways. And we check all of those at least once a month. So
if
you have any complaints, send those to jeremy@eastwoodtulsa.com. We love you guys. We are glad you're listening. Phil, do you have any final words?
Flippity fish. That's all I want to say.
Flippity fish. Love and pancakes.
Yeah, love and pancakes.
We'll see you next week. Well, you'll hear us. We love you guys. Bye.